We've got two readings this morning. The first one, a short reading from the Old Testament book of Exodus. And this is God speaking to Moses. And he said to Moses, "You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you will speak to the people of Israel." And then our second reading is from the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, to Matthew 10, verse 8. "And Jesus went throughout all cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.' And he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. The names of the 12 apostles are these: first Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanian, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, 'Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and proclaim as you go, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, give without pay." What's your status with God? Are you a friend to God? Are you an enemy to God? According to Matthew 10 or Luke 12, God knows you. In fact, knows you so intimately that he's numbered the hairs on your head. So does God know you as a friend or as an enemy? The reason I ask is that both our scripture readings today address the question of our relationship to God. In Exodus 19, we read where God described the children of Israel, whom Moses led out of slavery in Egypt, as his treasured possession. But then, if we read Romans 3, Paul describes all of us as ungodly and sinners and enemies of God. And yet he explains that we've been reconciled with God by the death of his Son. That sounds great, but honestly, I had a rough week last week. Things I know I shouldn't do or think, I did and thought anyway. So does that move me out of the treasured possession category and back into the enemy of God category? Frankly, descriptors like ungodly and sinner describe me more accurately than I'd ever want to admit to anybody. So what is my status with God? This is important to me because, being very frank, there are things I worry about. For example, I have friends my age who are retiring, so I worry about having the wherewithal to retire. I have 3 kids. I worry about them. I have a birthday coming. Sometimes I struggle with the idea of getting older. Sometimes I might even be in denial of my own mortality. And I worry about issues here at church, things very few people are aware of, things I can't talk about. And like you, I've suffered disappointment in life and loss. I've gone through difficult transitions. Sometimes I've even feared for my sanity. That's why this issue of my status with God is so important to me. When my back is against the wall, when I have nowhere else to turn, and I turn to God, will He hear me and respond because I'm His treasured possession? Or will God turn away from me because I've so often turned away from Him? I've mentioned this before, but years ago, I was at a concert of a popular Christian recording artist, and he invited people to come up to the front and make a decision to receive Jesus as their Savior. Well, I went forward. Part of it was to impress my friends with my Christian piety and sincerity, but there was also something else going on. I'd already gone forward to make a decision for Jesus several times in the previous year, but I was never quite sure if it really took. I wasn't sure of my status with God. That's because my view of salvation was this: I do my part, and God does His part. And with me and God working together, I'm saved. Problem was, I was never quite sure if I'd done my part well enough. Had I really accepted Christ in my heart of hearts? Then why was I still sinning? Why did I still do what I did and think what I thought? Wasn't I supposed to be sanctified? Wasn't I supposed to become more holy? Sometimes it seemed like I was getting worse. I responded by going forward at altar call after altar call, trying to get it right, trying to do my part. This was all very confusing to me because the idea that when it comes to salvation, you do your part and God does His part, that idea was and still is the dominant view in contemporary Christianity. It's the dominant view, but it's not the biblical view. It wasn't until I understood that my salvation, as completely and totally the work of God, it wasn't until then that I began to be confident of my status with God. When I saw my salvation as something Jesus accomplished on the cross, rather than something I accomplished at an altar call. That's when I finally found peace. I became a Christian when God gave me the gift of faith, or when I was baptized, not when I made a decision, because God did it, not me. In our gospel lesson today, it says, Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel. And then He sent His disciples out among the lost sheep of Israel to proclaim the same message. So who were the lost sheep? The lost sheep were sinful people, which included sinful people like you and me, but people who had not heard and understood the gospel. The gospel is the proclamation of forgiveness of sinners, forgiveness and reconciliation with God, because Jesus died to atone for your sin. And His righteousness is credited to you, imputed to you. Amazing. And it's free. You do nothing to earn it. You just receive it. And your status with God goes from enemy to treasured possession because of what Jesus did for you. Well, if forgiveness is that easy, doesn't that just encourage people to go ahead and sin and then just be forgiven again, time after time? That's the question that's raised in Romans 6. I have a close friend who lost his job a few years ago. He has two kids who were preschoolers at the time. The family took a real hit financially and coped by using credit cards. He'd be the first to admit that it got way out of hand, and by the time he got his employment stabilized, they owed far more money than they could possibly pay back. He and his wife really struggled with this. They lost sleep, they worried, and they fought about it. It was a source of incredible stress and discord. That debt was tearing them apart. Then something really wonderful and unusual happened. A friend who'd been very successful in business paid off the credit cards for them. So tell me, how do you think this friend of mine reacted? Do you think he went right out and intentionally indebted himself again? Of course not. He had no desire to resume his status as a debtor. He was free, and he appreciated it. If he goes out and runs up his credit card again, it won't be because he's expecting someone to come along and pay it off. It's because he has a spending problem. And if you and I continue to put ourselves above others rather than love our neighbors as ourselves, or we continue to live as if we're in charge rather than loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, it's because we have a sin problem. We sin because we're sinners. And if you don't believe you're a sinner, or you think you've overcome your sin problem, read Matthew 5 or Romans 3 or 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, which says, "If you say you have no sin, you deceive yourself, and the truth is not in you. But if you confess your sin, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness." That's the gift of God given to you. Forgiveness, a clean slate, over and over. And it's something God does, not you. Because the truth is, you can't rid yourself of sin. But be at peace. You're still forgiven and accepted and loved by God. So relax. When you're guilty, and you know it, and everyone else knows it, you're still God's treasured possession. You're always forgiven by God. You're always loved by God. You always get another chance with God. You may turn away from Him, but He will never turn away from you, because you belong to Christ. Amen.